Today's daf is Tmura daf Kaf Hey. We're going to start at the bottom of Kaf Dalet Amud Bet, the last line of the Mishnah. Yaldat tumtum v'androginus. Okay, we were in the case where someone said, im zachar ola v'im nikeva zivchei shlamim, the animal was pregnant. We're going to see that the Gemara understands, even though we said that the last part we finished yesterday was saying the last part of the Mishnah was talking about a case where the behema was chulin, the pregnant animal was chulin, and we're saying that we're sanctifying the fetuses. The assumption is that this last line, the assumption of the Gemara right now, is talking about any of the cases, including a case where the mother, pregnant mother, was sanctified, and then you had a tumtum v'androginus in utero. So yaldat, or, well, we didn't know what it was in utero, but when it gave birth, it was a tumtum or an androginus. So Rashbag omer, ein kedusha chala alehem. Okay, there's no sanctity on the tumtum and androginus. So the Gemara asks, "Amai ein kedusha chala alehem? Why is there no sanctity?" Savar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, "Vladot kodashim b'havayatan hen kedushim." He must hold that the offspring of kodashim are only sanctified when they're actually born, and therefore, that's why the tumtum and androgynous don't have any sanctity to them. What does that have to do with anything? If you're going to say that they're sanctified in utero, then the tumtum and androgynous should have sanctity to it. Now again, it's sanctity not to the extent that you can actually sacrifice them, because obviously you can't sacrifice them. The issue is, because their tumtum and androgynous don't get sacrificed. We've learned that in the past. The issue is, why isn't it like a regular bal mum where it has sanctity, it just can't be sacrificed, and then, right, then you do what you do with a general bal mum, right, where you would sell it and then take the money and buy with it a korban instead. So now the issue is like this. If they should already have, they should at least have the kedusha of their mother, since they're kedushim mime'eiman, then they should have the sanctity of their mother. Elishmamina, therefore one must infer from here, what Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, that v'ladei kodashim v'havayatan in kodashim. Okay, we're going to assume that he means, that he holds, that they're sanctified only when they're born, and that's why the tumtum androgynous, right, when it's born, and that's when the kedusha is going to be chal, already we know it's a tumtum and androgynous, and therefore it's not going to have sanctity at all. But if it were sanctified in utero before we knew, is it a tumtum and androgynous, or theoretically one could say before it's even the simanim of zcharut and nekevut hidden, or both, or all that wasn't even developed yet, then you would, right, then that would basically mean that, right, if it was before we even know if it's a tumtum and androgynous, then the kedusha should have set in already, and then when it becomes a tumtum and androgynous, we would say they're still sanctified. So the fact that he said there's no sanctity shows that he holds as behavayatan hin kedushim. V'hai tana savar lav ladei kodashim mimeiman hin kedushim. Now we're going to bring a different tana of a braita who holds the opposite against our Mishnah, against Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel on the Mishnah, that ladei kodashim are actually sanctified bimeiman in utero. Titanu rabanan. Ilu ne'amar b'chor lo yakadish. Okay, we're going to take this pasuk in Vayikra Kavzayim, pasuk Kavav. Af b'chor asher yivukar la'ashem b'behema lo yakadish ishoto. If you have a firstborn of an animal, it cannot be sanctified. Okay, a person can't sanctify it. Meaning, what do we learn from this pasuk? That you can't take an animal that was a b'chor and sanctify it for a different korban. You can't say, I'm taking this b'chor and I'm using it as a korban ola. So the Gemara is going to now darshan this pasuk. You could have, the pasuk could have said, ilu ne'amar b'chor lo yakdish. It just could have said, don't be makdish a b'chor. Then, hayiti omer, what might I have thought? B'chor lo yakdish, hakdeshot. Maybe it means that a firstborn, now b'chor can mean firstborn animal or firstborn human. Maybe it means a firstborn son can't create hekdesh at all. He can't sanctify objects. Talmud Lamar, ish oto. Oto yata makdish, אבל מקדיש אדם בחור הקדשות. המקדיש אדם בחור הקדשות. So the fact that it says, לא יקדיש איש אותו, that means a person can't be makdish it. It must mean the animal, which means we're not talking about a person can't sanctify a regular hekdesh, right? A person who's a bechor can't sanctify the hekdesh. No, it means any person can't sanctify a bechor and turn him into a korban. V'adayin ani omer hu lo yakdish, aval yakdishu achirim. Maybe it means that a bechor can't sanctify an animal that's a bechor, but maybe, you know, and use it for a different korban, but maybe other people could do it. In other words, still maybe the subject is a bechor of humans. Talmud lamar ba behema. Therefore, it says a bechor sheivukar laHashem ba behema shows that the bechor is only behema sakti, right? It's only dealing with behemot. Yachol lo yakdishenu babeten. You might have thought you can't sanctify it in utero. Talmud lamar asher yivukar laHashem. What does that teach you? Mi sheivukar laHashem iya tamakdish. Aval tamakdish. Babeten. Okay, what does that mean? That once it becomes a Bechor LaHashem, then you can sanctify it. When is that? Right? Only when it's born. But you could be Makdish Babeten. Yakol Kol Vladei HaKodashim Ken. You might have thought that this is true also for all other Kodashim, that only once they're born. Talmud Lomar, Ach Chilek. It starts off, it says, Ach Bechor, meaning this case is unique. And therefore, what do we see from here? Alma Sfira Lev, Aladei Kodashim, Mime'eman Hen Kodashim. Therefore, we can infer from here that other animals are actually sanctified in utero, and therefore, you can't do anything with them once they're already sanctified in utero. They're sanctified, and not when they're born. Amar Lerav, Amar Lerav Sheshet. Amar Al Bechorim Yitziat Rubo. If one says to a Bechor, about a Bechor, Im yitziat rubo ola have o bechor have. If before the bechor is born, you say, when the majority of this fetus comes out, then it will be a korban ola. So now, at this point we're going to have, as soon as the majority of the head comes out, what did we learn before? That's considered the birth. So, at that moment, both the sanctity of Ola falls on it and the sanctity of Bechor falls on it. So which is it going to be? Is it Ola Have or Bechor Have? Ola Have, do we say it's Ola because Kalil, who Kalil? There's a bit of a Girsa issue here. Okay, we say or Shekain Kalil because Ola is a higher sanctity than Bechor because the entire thing is sacrificed in the Mizbeach. Or do we say bechor have de choporta uporta de kanafik bimiltehu? Or do we say that we treat this as a bechor because every little bit that comes out, it's who it is, and who is it? It's a bechor, basically. Lishnachrina, a different version. Some people say this, the meaning of this is exactly the same as before. Some people try to give different explanations. It's just, you know, according to the first explanation, it's really the same thing. It's just different wording. Lishnachrina. Shekein kedusha chayle ale. O dilma, do we say, because the kedusha of Ola is chalalav? O dilma bechor have shekein kedusha tomei rechem. Or do we say, no, the bechor was kadosh from the beginning, in other words, as soon as it's born, it's bechor, and therefore do we go with, we'll see the Gemara is going to kind of say this later, what God decreed it will be, or what man is going to decree it's going to be. In other words, the man here or the woman said it's going to be an Ola, but it was really meant to be a Bechor. So Amarlei, so now he says to him, Rav Sheshet says to Rav Amram, because this Rav Amram had said to Rav Sheshet, he says, what kind of a question is this? Mai tibailach? Hainu debai Ilfa. This is exactly what Ilfa said in the following case. Ilfa debai Amar. Amar, this is Hainu Dabai Ilfa. This is what Ilfa asked. So he said the following. Amar al haleket. Okay, what's leket? Leket is that when you're taking the sheaves of wheat, if most of the grains fall off the sheaf of wheat, then you have to leave the rest for leket. So now, as soon as the majority. So if you say al haleket, im nishirat rubo yehei hefker, when most of it falls off, it will be hefker. Now, what's the difference between hefker and leket? Leket is only for poor people. Hefker means anyone can take it, rich or poor. So again, you're having this two things fall simultaneously on it. One is leket, which is a din toha, and one is hefker, which is you're determining it's going to be hefker. So, do we say leket have or hefker have? Leket have shekein kedushato bidei shamayim. That already God decreed. O dilma hefker have shekein zochim bo aniyim vashirim. Or do we say no, hefker is more wide-reaching, and therefore maybe it would be hefker? V'amar Abaye. Abaye said about the following thing that Ilfa asked, Maiti Baile, Divrei HaRav, Divrei HaTalmid, Divrei Mishomim. What kind of a question is it? All right, we have Divrei HaRav, which is what God said in the Torah, Leket. And we have Divrei HaTalmid, what the person said. So Divrei Mishomim, obviously we're going to listen to the Rav. Hachinami, Divrei Mishomim. Same thing here. God decreed it was going to be a Bechor, and therefore it's a Bechor. New Mishnah. Ha'omer v'ladash shel zo ola v'hishlamim dvarav kayamim. If one stands up, he sees a pregnant animal, and he says, the vlad of that is going to be an ola, but the animal itself, the pregnant animal, will be a shlamim. That works. Hishlamim uvlada ola. Sorry, dvarav kayamim, meaning the fetus will be, when it's born, it will be an ola, and the animal will be a shlamim. If you say the following, you switch the order. Hishlamim uvlada ola. The animal, pregnant animal, will be a shlamim, and the vlad will be an ola. Hare ze vlad zivchei shlamim, divrei Rabbi Meir. The vlad is actually going to be a shlamim and not an ola. Why? Because as soon as you said hishlamim, that already affected the fetus, and not just the pregnant animal, but also the fetus. The fact that you said a few seconds later, and the vlad is an ola, it's too late. You've already said the animals are shlamim, and therefore the vlad is a shlamim. That's Rabbi Meir. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Im lechen nitkaven tchila, ho'il ve'i afshar lekot shnei shemot ke'achad, dvarav kayamim. If you really intended from the beginning to say, hishlamim uvlada ola, and you knew when you said hishlamim that you were going to say the vlad is an ola, then the vlad is in fact an ola. Why? Because you can't speak two things at the same time. So how else are you supposed to say this? I mean, you could switch the order, but really it's as if you said the whole thing at the same time, and it's not like first the vlad became a shlamim and then you want to change it to an ola. No, that's not the case. But if you said this is shlamim, the pregnant animal, and then you change your mind and say, oh, and by the way, but I changed my mind and I want the vlad to be an ola. Well, that doesn't work then. Harezo vladash shlami. So the Gemara starts off with Rabbi Yochanan. Again, we keep going back to Rabbi Yochanan, who talks about the vlad being lav yerech imo. And that the vlad is not considered a limb of the mother, and therefore, im shiaro meshuyar, we've seen this before, right? If you want to say that I'm going to treat the vlad separately from the mother, you can do that. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hifrish chatat meuberet v'yalda, ratza ba mitkaper, ratza bivlada mitkaper. If you say I'm being mafrish a chatat from an animal that's already meuberet, and as I'm taking this pregnant animal, she's going to be for a chatat, and then before you sacrifice her, she gave birth. So he can choose whichever one he wants. My time. What's the reason Rabbi Yochanan says this? Kasav Rabbi Yochanan im shiaro meshuyar, because he views them as two separate entities. He says, if you want to say the vlad is going to be something else, you can, which means, right, which is because ubar lav yerech imohu. So in that case, when you didn't leave over the ubar and you didn't say it's something different, what you meant is, I'm sanctifying this pregnant animal for this korban, and I'm also sanctifying her, the fetus, for the same korban, meaning that I can choose whichever one I want to use, assuming she gives birth before I'm going to sacrifice the animal, obviously. So it's as if someone was mafrish two chataot l'achrayut, right? Two animals for korban chatat for achrayut. We talked about this yesterday, the achrayut. That's in case something happens to one of them. Ratzamet kaper ba, ratzamet kaper ba chaberta. Right? You can use that one, you can use the other one, it doesn't make a difference. So motiv Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar now questions and says, Hi shlamim uvlada ola hare ze vlad shlamim. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said if you say a pregnant animal is shlamim, the vlad is going to be an ola, that's a vlad shlamim. Right? The vlad is not an ola, it's a shlamim. Now, Isla kadatach shiaro meshuyar harezo vlad shlamim. If you want to say shiaro meshuyar, that you can actually leave it over and designate it as something else, well then, harezo vlad shlamim. It shouldn't say harezo vlad shlamim. It should say harezo shlamim. You should say like this. Shiaro meshuyar means, right, I can leave it over, but if I didn't, then it's going to have its own sanctity. It's going to be as if I separated two animals for the shlamim for achrayut. In which case, what should it say in the Mishnah? Harezo shlamim. This is a korban shlamim. It's not a vlad shlamim. A vlad is when the mother sanctified, and because the mother sanctified, the vlad is also sanctified. In this case, we're saying, when I say harezo shlamim, what I mean is I'm sanctifying the mother, and also independently sanctifying the vlad, but not as a vlad, right? Sanctifying the fetus by itself, not because the vlad kodeshim, but I'm actually sanctifying it on its own. So harezo shlamim by mina. That's what it should have said, and that seems to go against Rabbi Yochanan, who said shiro meshuyar. So Amar of Tavla bar mina dahu. So he says, basically he's saying, ignore this Mishnah, okay? Ignore this version of the Mishnah, because ha amar Rav latana, ha rezo shlamim. Rav said to a Tana, to a person who was reciting the Mishnayot, that it should read ha rezo shlamim, and it shouldn't read ha rezo vlad shlamim, and with that we've resolved the issue. Now we have another question on Rabbi Yochanan, Meitive. Now we bring a question from a Braita. Ha omer l'shifchato. If somebody has a non-Jewish slave woman, maid servant, and he gives her a get shichur, okay, a shtar shichur, he gives her a deed that says you're freed, but it doesn't actually say you're freed. What does it say? He says when he gives her this shtar, hare at shifcha uvladech ben cholin, you're a maid servant, and your offspring though is going to be free. Meaning, I'm giving you this shtar shichur for your offspring. Okay, she's pregnant, or let's see. Im haita ubara, if she was pregnant, zachtalo, she can receive this shtar shechor on behalf of her vlad. Now, this potentially could be an issue. Why? Because we'll see in a minute, but the issue is that you can't accept a get shechor if for someone else from your own master. Because yad eved ki yad rabo, and there needs to be, meaning you're just an extension, your hand is just an extension of your owner's hand, and therefore when your owner, if the owner puts it in his own hand, he's not actually giving it to anyone because it's still in his own hand. Therefore when the owner gives it to this maidservant, he's actually giving it to, it's as if he's giving it to himself, and it's not actually going into someone else's hands. So she can't receive a get shechor on behalf of somebody else if she's not getting freed. And here she's not getting freed. So, Iyamart bishlama im shiaro eno meshuyar ubar yerech imo mishum hachi zachtala. You'd have to say that if you were to leave out the ubar, it's not meshuyar, right? You can't leave it out. Basically, it's part and parcel, part of the mother. It's ubar yerech imo, like a limb of the mother. That's why she can be zoche, because she can, basically, the part of her that counts as the ubar is the one accepting the shtar shechur, and that's why the ubar can go free. V'havele can be shachur chatzi avdo. It's like a case where somebody frees half of his eved. Umane, Rabbi Meir here, and who does this go like? It goes like Rabbi Meir who said, it should actually be Rabbi, Kidetanya Rebbe Omer, Hamishachrer Chatzi Avdo, Yatsa L'Chirut. Why? Because, right, if you free half your Eved, so half of the Eved goes free. Why is that? How can he accept a shtar? Because gito v'yado ba'in ke'echad. He gets his get shechur at the same time as he's getting his freedom, right? In other words, his yad becomes his when you give it to him. So you say that that yad is kind of the half that's free, in which case he gets the rights to accept the shtar. But if you say that the ubar lav yerech imohu, right, that the ubar is considered a separate entity from its mother, and therefore if you wanted to say something about the mother and something separate about the fetus, it would work. Amai zachtalo. How could she be zoche for the ubar? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Nirin shehaeved zoche lekabel haget. It seems to be the case that an eved can get a get shichur shel chavero miyad rabo she'eno shelo. Let's say I'm a slave. I can accept a get shichur on behalf of you, who's also a slave, as long as your owner is not the same as my owner. Why? Because then we don't have the issue of yad rabo ki yad avdo ki yad rabo, because he's not my rabo. The lo miyad rabo shelo, but he can't accept it. I can't accept it, for example, on behalf, if let's say you're owned by the same slave owner that I'm owned by, and he gives me a shtar shechur on your for you, I can't accept that, because yad avdo ki yad rabo. Therefore, elashma mina im shiaro eino meshuyar. Therefore, this would have to only work if you hold shiaro eino meshuyar, meaning that the ubar is part of the mother. V'tiyuvta de Rabbi Yochanan, tiyuvta. Okay, and then the question against Rabbi Yochanan is, in fact, a question. So now the Gemara says, lema im shiaro meshuyar tanahi. Maybe it's a machloka tanaim, and therefore it shouldn't bother us that this is a Braita doesn't go with Rabbi Yochanan, because it's a machloka tanaim, and he sides on the other side. How do we know it's a machloka tanaim? D'tanya, ha'omer l'shifchato hare'at bat chorin, uvladech eved. Now this is the flip case. Somebody says to his maidservant, you're free, but your vlad is an eved. Vlada kamoha. The vlad has the same exact status as the mother, meaning the vlad is also free. Diver Rabbi Yossi aglili. V'chachamim omrim, Tvarav kayamim, mishum shenemar ha'isha v'yiladeh tiyeh la'adoneha. So chachamim say, no, it actually works. She's free, but the offspring is not free, because it says the isha and the children will be for the adon. Okay, this is in the Eved Ivri context where it says this. So first the Gemara says, cry matamuda l'rabanan. What does this pasuk have to do with Rabbanan? Hey, Shavi Yiladeh Tiyeh La'adoneha teaches that you could say the Shifcha, you're free, and the Vladot are not. Actually, the pasuk seems to be saying otherwise. So Amar Rava, Amar Kra, or Kra L'Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Dikat. Okay, so Rava says, no, the pasuk actually is coming to support Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position, okay? You have to read the Braita a little differently. When it says Chachamim say Dvarav Kayamim, and now when it says Mishum Shenemar, it's going back to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's saying that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that the Vlad is like her because it says Tekatani Vlada Kamoa Shenemar Hayishav Yeladeh Tiyeh La'adoneha Bizman Sheisha La'adoneha Vlada La'adoneha. As if she's for the Adon, then the Vladota for the Adon. And if she's not, then they're not. Okay? So therefore, now, again, what does this have to do? We wanted to say maybe it's a machloka tana'im about whether Ubar is Yerechimo or not. So my lava kamifleges, it's not the root of the machloket. To Rabbi Yossi Savar, Shiro eino meshuyar. For Rabbanan Savre, Mishuyar. Isn't it that Rabbi Yossi says the Ubar is Yerechimo, and therefore if you free the Shifcha, then you free the offspring also? And Rabbanan, who hold no, you can separate, holds Meshuyar, you can separate. So, sounds like it's a machloka tana'im. Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? Dekulei ama shiro meshuyar. No, everybody really holds shiro meshuyar. V'hachainu tam adam rakra, ha'yisha v'yeladeh tiyeh la'adoneha. This is a unique halacha, because it's really shiro meshuyar, but in this case, it says, so we have a special limud here, and that's why one opinion thinks that it's different. But really, generally, we say, Shira Meshuya. Ella, Vadai Lema Ki Hane Tanai. But now they say, wait. really, we could say that Shitat Rabbi Yochanan about Shiro Meshuyar is a machloka Tanaim in the following braita. Ditanya, Hashochetet Hachatat Umatza Ben Dalid. You slaughter the Chatat, an animal that you had designated for Chatat that was pregnant, and inside you find it was a 4-month-old animal, Chai, right? It's still alive. Tanechada, now the question is, what's the status of this Ben Arba? Is it treated like the mother, like a Korban Chatat, and therefore all the details of a Chatat are true for it? So Tanechada, Eine Echelet Ele Zuchrei Kunav, Eine Echelet Ele Yomachav, Eine Echelet Ele Lifnim Naklaim. All the criteria of a Chatat are true for this, that only male Kohanim, only that day, and only inside the walls of the Beit HaMikdash. V'tanya idach, and a different brayta says, ne'echelet l'chol adam, v'ne'echelet b'chol makom, v'ne'echelet l'olam. Everyone can eat it anywhere they want and anytime they want. No time limit on it. My love tonight, so isn't this a machloka tana'im? To Tanakama savar, shi'aro eno meshuyar. Tanakama who holds that we're going to treat it like a chatat, holds you can't distinguish between the vlad and the mother, and therefore it has the exact same status. Umar savar shi'aro meshuyar. And the second opinion that says it's ne'achelet, it has no criteria like the chatat, holds that shi'aro meshuyar. You can, the offspring has a different status. It's not ubar lav yarechimo, and therefore it doesn't have the same status. So again, Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan says no. To kule alma im shi'aro meshuyar. Okay, everybody agrees that if you want to separate it, you can separate it. Okay, ubar lav yarechimo. Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan v'hane tanai v'hakam iflegei. This is the root of their machloket. K'mar savar v'ladei kodoshim b'havayatanin kodoshim. Umar savar v'ladei kodoshim b'me'ei manhem kodoshim. Notice what happened here. We had this offspring, right? It was a vlad inside the womb of the mother, but it was never actually born because the mother was slaughtered and this was found inside still alive. So now the issue is that if you say, even if you say the vlad is, right here we're going to say, the whole issue is, at what point does the Kedusha come onto the vlad? So if you say that it's not treated like a chatat, then you say they're only sanctified when they're born, and this animal was never born, and that's why it doesn't have the status of a chatat. And if you say it has the status of a chatat, it's because you say b'me'eiman hein kedoshim. That's where we started today with that issue, with that machloket. V'ibayit ema lo kasha. Another answer could be to say, the reason why they each say different things is because kam b'shik disha ulevasof nitabra, kam b'shik nitabra ulevasof hekdisha. There's two different cases here. One case is talking about where the animal was first sanctified, then later it got pregnant. In that case, we can say, well, the offspring is going to have the same status, okay, and therefore it's treated as chulin. But if you say the kishin nitabra, when she was pregnant, it was already, sorry, I think I said it wrong from the words. Hikdisha ulevasof, no, I said it right actually. Bishinitabra ulevasof hikdisha is where she was pregnant and then you sanctified her. So in that case, when you do the sanctification, when she's already pregnant, then the Kedusha is going to be chal on the vlad. This was the whole thing Rabbi Yochanan said. Remember that the Kedusha is chal on the vlad, just like on the mother, and then you can choose if the animal's born for the slaughter, then you can choose whichever one you want to use. Okay, so that resolves that issue. Again, this was all to say, we tried to say it was machloka tana'im. In the end, we then explain all the tana'itic opinions according to Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Now, until now, we've established that Rabbi Yochanan holds Shiro Meshuyar, and that's why he explains that Homer, right, then we had this problem that they questioned him from this bright home, and your vlada is not, your shifcha and your vlada is ben chorin, and then we question based on Rabbi Yochanan because he holds shi'aro meshuyar. So now we say, matkifla rabba, mi ma'i detamad Rabbi Yochanan im shi'aro meshuyar. Why are you assuming that's his opinion as to why he says that if you're makdish a chatat, an animal, to be a sin offering when she's pregnant, and then she gives birth before you slaughter her, that you can actually choose which one you want to use? And the assumption we have is because shiro mashuyar, because he views them as if they're two separate entities. If you wanted to separate them, you could, right? And ubar lav yarachimo. So dilma haynu tamid Rabbi Yochanan, maybe his reason is because he holds the adam mitchaper b'shvach hektish. Maybe we're saying that a person can achieve his atonement not only from something you designated as hektish, but anything that comes from that hektish, shvach hektish, any sort of outgrowth of that hektish, and nubar is considered. And then you would say dafka that ubar is yerach imo, right? And it's just part of the mother. It's kind of like a shevach of the mother. And then it wouldn't contradict the braita where it said, Hareat shivcha uvladech ben chorin, right? If she was pregnant, then she could be zoche for him. Because, right, we said there that it sounds like it's because the ubar is yerech imo, that's why she can actually be zoche for him. So, Amar le Rav Hamnuna, Rabbi Elazar, Talmidei to Rabbi Yochanan. But wait, it doesn't make any sense to say that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that it's not because of Shiro Meshuyar and it's because of Shvach Hekdesh, because Rabbi Elazar, who questioned Rabbi Yochanan before, which goes back to the first question we had on Rabbi Yochanan about Hishlamim Uvladaula from the Mishnah itself, and then he said there, if you hold Shiro Meshuyar, then Harezo Vlad Shlamim, it should be Harezo Shlamim, and then we change the Nusach. He understands Rabbi Yochanan is holding Shiro Meshuyar, and he's Talmidei to Rabbi Yochanan, V'yatzi v'lekamei to Rabbi Yochanan. He was a Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. He sat before Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore, v'lo ahadr lehani haishinuya. And he didn't answer, oh, it's because Rabbi Yochanan holds mitkaper v'shvach hektesh. No, he didn't answer that. V'at amar tamid Rabbi Yochanan mishum da'adam mitkaper v'shvach hektesh. And you want to suggest that when his own student didn't suggest that? Doesn't make any sense. Now going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi. V'imi sheyomar harezo shlamim nimlach. If you said, remember Rabbi Yossi's whole thing is you can't speak two things all at the same time, and therefore if you said one right after the other, but you meant both from the beginning, then we're going to assume that both work. But if you said harezo shlamim on the pregnant animal, and then you change your mind after and say, oh wait, but I want to say that the Vlad is an Ola, but you hadn't thought to say that in the first place, that wouldn't work because the Vlad already has Kedushat Shlamim. So the Gemara now asks and says, Pshita Vladan Shlamim. Obviously the Vlad is going to be Shlamim in this case, and of course it doesn't help that afterwards you say, oh, and I want to make it an Ola. Ela kol ema debayim mimlach, what, you think anyone can just change his mind and change what he said to Hakdesh? We already, that's the whole thing of Masechet Tmura. Once you designate something, you can't just start changing it and saying, oh, instead of this, I'm taking that, right? There's no such thing. So Amar Papa, lo nitzracha ela shamar betoch kidei dibur. The case that we're talking about here, generally we have a principle in halacha, that if you say something immediately, you change what you say immediately after, they say it's the time it takes to say shalom alecha rabbi umori, that if you change your mind within that time and fix what you said, it's as if you said the second thing and not the first. We erase what you said before. So therefore, we're talking here about a case of tokadei dibor. Mao detema tokadei dibor kedibor. Maybe you would say the tokadei dibor already fixes what you said and you can undo it. V'hai iyune hu dekama ayin. And what he's really doing is showing that he hadn't really decided yet. And therefore, when he says, I want it to be an Oli, he's saying, that's really what I meant from the beginning. Ka mashmalan. Rabbi Yossi comes to teach you that, in fact, you can't do this. Okay? You can't change what you said. If that's what you said, there's no, okay, now this is a fascinating halacha. Even though, in general, we hold tokadei dibor kedibor dame, and we can undo what we said, it's not the case for kodashim. Okay? You can't change your mind when it comes to kodashim. If you say something and then say, oh, I'm changing it, it's not really what I meant, it's too late. Okay? There's no change able to be had. Okay, we'll stop here and pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow.